Thank you for tuning in to Rochester Speaks. I'm Ray G, here with Stephen Hoyt, who is the Scout Executive and CEO of the Seneca Waterways Council, Boy Scouts of America. Stephen, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I'm so excited to talk about this event, 21 Stories for Scouts, because I'm going to be doing it for the first time this year.
Well, that's super exciting. It's days away, but it is going to be an absolutely adrenaline rush event. You're going to absolutely love it.
Yes. And now tell us when the date is for both the media rappel and the everyone else rappel.
Yeah, so 21 Stories for Scouts is Thursday, August 26th, Friday, August 27th. Media go on the 26th. General participants go on the 27th. Sometimes there's a little bit of overlap, but we usually pretty much stick to that schedule. And we're rappelling this year off of Kodak Tower in Rochester.
And why Kodak Tower? Is there a specific reasoning for that?
Well, we started at First Federal, and for those that aren't familiar with downtown Rochester, that's the one that looks like it has a UFO on the roof.
It's where we're at right now.
We propelled there for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years in the event, and some of the guys had done it every single year, just wanted to do something a little more challenging, and Kodak, one of our board members is the CEO of Kodak, and he said it would love to do it here in our building. And it is a little more challenging because it has that kind of open balcony space as you start to rappel. And people just loved it. It's been a great event. You get a phenomenal view, High Falls as well as Red Wing Stadium, as well as a view of the city. So it's just a great view of the community, the city, same experience. And yeah, so we've been, I guess, this fifth or sixth year at Kodak Tower. So it's been a wonderful experience, a great family, a great business group to work with as well, just as well as the First Federal people were. We've had a lot of fun working with them.
Awesome. Yeah, I've heard, for one, Kodak is extremely historic in Rochester. And Dino had told me that going over the edge is a little bit more precarious than the building at First Federal.
Yeah, First Federal, you're at least on a solid surface the whole way through, whereas the challenge with Kodak Tower a little bit is that you have two stories of open balcony as you start to come down. So it makes it a little exciting. And a rappel, it doesn't really matter too much, but it's a little more difficult just to get started. But once you get down at two flights, it's pretty much the same experience.
Awesome. Yeah, and how, is rappelling, I'm going to be a first-time rappeller down a building. Anyone else here that might join in? How do we get trained to do it? Is there training involved? Just tell me about the experience of that.
Yeah, so it's funny. When we first started the event, we used to joke that we just take brand new scouts, we teach them how to tie knots, we throw them off the roof, and they'll rappel you. But the reality is, we actually, when we were looking to do a fundraiser, this was going to be a one-time event 12 years ago. We had just merged two offices together, two Boy Scout councils, and we're just looking for a fun PR stunt. And we found this company in Nova Scotia that was doing these extreme descent rappelling events. And we said, oh, that'd be really cool. We should do that. And in many ways, we figured out that it really exemplifies what we do in scouting. I mean, it is an adrenaline rush experience. But the adrenaline rush you or I have going the 309 feet down Kodak Tower isn't any different than that 12-year-old scout at a climbing wall at summer camp. And so we kind of got to the point where, for a little bit, we get to be a kid again. And so the company called Over the Edge that we brought on board, and they provide all the equipment, all the safety equipment, all the carabiners, the helmets, all that kind of stuff. Partnering with Kodak, we get to have the cameras and some other things that make it a really nice addition as well. When you come in or anybody comes in for the experience, the first thing they do after they sign in is they go into get geared up. So you put on a whole carabiner, safety harness system, and then you go off to training. And you don't leave training until you understand how the carabiners work, the safety levers, how everything will work for your rappel. So you're sort of an expert on the gear and the apparatus before you ever hit the roof.
Wow.
And then from there, you'll go up. And some people spend, 2 minutes in training because it's real easy, and other people a little, maybe 10 minutes, which is okay. And then you'll go to the roof, and there'll be a team that works with you there that kind of starts you through that experience. And everybody says training is harder than the roof. Once you get through that, it's a piece of cake.
I think it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, I think one of the things that probably the most common comment we get from people is, I was so focused on the rappel, I didn't take time to look around and enjoy the experience. And that was the nice thing of partnering with Kodak. So Kodak gives us these 360-degree cameras that we mount on people's helmets. So after you get done the experience, you'll get a video camera or a video from that camera that you can have to get to see what the whole world around you looked like at the time, even if you don't capture the moment yourself. And then Kodak Alaris, kind of the other side of Kodak, when they split after their bankruptcy, they actually do a photography package. It's kind of like the Flumeride experience if you think of going to an amusement park.
Sure.
And so they'll have photos of you rappelling that they'll present you as well, kind of for your desk or home or wherever you want to put it, just to say, hey, I did it. So it's been a really nice addition as well.
I know I'm going to need both of those because my parents don't live up here with me, and they are dying to see this, the video and the pictures and everything.
Well, I tell people this is the absolute best Facebook photo you'll ever get.
That's
and it's
great.
Absolutely incredible. You know, you get that photo that you're, you know, 20 and a half, whatever it is, you know, stories up in the air, kind of leaning out over the balcony. You're all harnessed in and rope with your hands extended. It's an absolutely great, great Photoshop.
Cool. So you said the general lapel is going to be on Friday, August 27th. How do people get registered for that if they're interested?
Yeah, so it's the website for more information about the event is 21storiesforscouts.org. That's a numerical 21. And individuals, we'll end up, we have three ropes of people rappelling, which is, this is only the second time we've ever had that many. So it should allow us for about 126 rappellers throughout the course of the day. With that, we ask individuals to raise $1,200 for the experience. And, you know, some people pay for it, but the overwhelming majority of people who rappel actually go and get sponsors. And they'll get pledges who will chip in $25, $50, $100 a piece, and they'll raise their money that way through sponsors. So on that 21 Stories for Scouts website, you can sign up to rappel, or you can sponsor somebody who's rappelling. And we still have a lot of people who are trying to kind of polish off their number to get to their goal. So even if you don't want to rappel, you can definitely help somebody kind of complete their quest.
Absolutely. If you want to help someone rappel, you don't want to do it yourself, go to 21storiesforscouts.org. Now, is there like an age limit, weight limit, anything like that?
So we figured out we tell people it's 14, it could be 12, but we tell people the reality is you got to weigh 100 pounds.
Okay.
So we figured out right off the bat that you have to weigh more than the rope, just the law of gravity. And there's some arm strength to it. And so some of the younger kids that have tried doing it struggle a little bit, though we've had others that have just aced through it, no problem. But, you know, as long as you weigh 100 pounds, you're probably good to go. And other than arm strength, that's really about the only attribute. And we've had people who are paraplegic, you know, in a wheelchair who have rappelled. We've had people, a lot of seniors rappel. As this as well. It's not something that's like, you know, you have to have like a strong endurance, like a marathon run or anything like that. But you just got to have enough arm strength to be able to work a lever. And that's what's actually going to release tension on the rope to allow you to descend.
I think I read somewhere that your oldest rappeller was 94.
Correct.
So
and
literally.
He's scheduled to come back. He's done it now. Little Joe's done it now three times.
Oh, wow.
And just a great story. He's been a phenomenal fundraiser for us. He was in scouting as a youth, and as if I recall the story right, his scout unit dissolved. And I want to say that was like around World War II or something like that. And so he never got the chance to finish his scouting program, which is disappointed about. But it was always a way for him a little bit to give back and hopefully provide program for kids who want to have that today.
Definitely. And he's definitely an inspiration for anyone that thinks, oh, I don't know, you know, am I going to be strong enough? Am I going to be able to do this? If a 94-year-old can do it, almost anyone can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the mechanism has changed a little bit. It's now kind of a lever mechanism that we use. There's actually two ropes when you rappel. There's one that's a kind of a speed brake rope that with a carabiner system on it that prevents you from going too fast. So you don't really get to take those really kind of those, if you think of people rappelling in the military where they take these big winding arc kind of bounce off the buildings and down in like three touches.
Sure.
You don't really get to do that because the speed brake won't let you go that fast. But the and then there's a second carabiner rope system that allows for you to descend. And on there, it's a lever. And you work a button and a lever, and as you release tension on the rope, you can pretty much, for most people, it's just walk down the side of the building. Some will push off and bounce, but it's really just walk down the side of the building.
I think I'm going to be a bouncer.
And that's okay.
Okay, let's see. I saw that, you know, I know you said that the 21 Stories for Scouts, you do make the $1,200 donation. What does this money go to help support?
Yeah, so we started to do this event really as a way to raise money for kids who couldn't afford to be in the scouting program. And we realized that, you know, Rochester is such a, you know, a community of extremes, right? We have such a large inner city community as well as a rural community that are lower income, that need resources. And then we have a huge affluent community as well. So kind of using some of those resources to help provide for kids who couldn't otherwise afford scouting. And so it comes in a lot of forms, whether it be uniforms or books or really camperships, and even staff to help go run program for them. And it's, for us, it's been a vital resource to help make program available to kids in the inner city that just otherwise wouldn't have it. And this has really become, over the last 12 years, the really number one fundraiser for us to have an inner city scouting program.
That's awesome. I think it's definitely important to be as inclusive as possible. And this event, I think, as you said, is, you know, helping you guys do that.
Right, and if it wasn't for this, we literally, and we know these whole neighborhoods of kids that just would not get a chance to have a scouting experience. And it's really neat to go to camp. I did a couple of years ago with my son, where we went to Camp Cutler in Naples, and the group that we were partnered with was a group from the inner city, and most of these kids had never been out of the city before. And it's really interesting to watch the dynamics change, and you know, for them to, you know, experience things that they just have never done.
Absolutely. If anyone just wanted to, you know, just donate in general to the 21 Stories for Scouts or the Seneca Waterways Council Boy Scouts of America, where could they do that at as well?
You can do that all right through that website as well, which is 21storiesforscouts.org. There's a general rappel option there too if you just want to support the organization, or you can just pick a rappeller. It's the easiest way. But on the other hand, if you want information more about scouting, or even if you have a son or daughter that you're interested in the program, you can always call our office as well at 244-4210.
Perfect. Stephen, would you like to add anything else to this?
Well, you know, as we come into the beginning of the school year, there are still tons of opportunities, you know, families who want to enroll their kids in the program. So there's always opportunities. So scouting is open for boys and girls, grades K all the way up through high school. So if you have a son or daughter who's interested in the program, feel free to reach out. We'd love to connect you to the program. Or there's a website, which is bascout.org. They can go for more information about putting their son or daughter into our scout programs.
Beautiful. Yeah, hit up that website if you are interested, or if your son or daughter is interested. And you should join us next Thursday and Friday at the Kodak Building while we rappel down 21 Stories for Scouts. I'm Ray G. That is Stephen Hoyt, the Scout Executive and CEO of Seneca Waterways Council for Boy Scouts of America. Thank you so much, Stephen.
My pleasure. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Have a great day.
Bye.